This is the SEN Breakfast Monday Microscope with Gary Lyon, Tim Watson and Kane Corns.
It is indeed, and just a second as we get ready for Big Volcano to have a look at the round 14 matches. Bryson DeChambeau is now in the lead with Rory McIlroy, Russell Henley and Louis Oosthuizen. So you've got a four-way lead with a couple of the big, big dogs right up there with. So we'll keep an eye on that. Good morning to the Volcano. Welcome, Kano.
Thanks, Gaz. Thank you, Tim. And can you guys get your hands off my producer? What is happening? Benny is in the seat for your man, Trent, who's having a couple of weeks off. Don't get comfy here. He's my man on a Friday, so just keep that in mind.
It's bring your kid to school day today. That's what we're working on here, and it's going okay at the moment. Been no blow-ups, but stand by. Just a quick one before we get into some of your bigger issues. Can Ollie Wines, which I am looking and watching and went over his career year last night, he'd have to be, if not in front, in the top two on the Brownlow right now.
He's had 416 disposals from 14 games. Now, do the maths on that. The least he's had in any one game this year is 24. Who's going to take votes off him? Travis Boak is a proven vote getter. Hasn't been as strong as Ollie, but still got some votes. They've won enough games of footy. It would not surprise me one little bit, Gary. He's in and under. He's got the blonde hair. He's noticeable. He does not talk back to the umpires. He's a very fair player. So he'd be in the top two or three, I think. I think Oliver and Petrarca are a bit more brilliant and stand out a bit more with their... they kick a few more goals and things like that. He's only kicked four goals for the year, but it would not surprise me at all, and it's a pretty good observation.
Hey, Kane, I have said on many occasions on this program about Jake Stringer, I've been howled down by a number of people regarding his abilities and what he can produce. And I've said also this season I've seen him produce it time and time again, not to the extent that he did yesterday. But he's a match-winning player, capable of taking his football to a level that very few in this competition can. Do you reckon there's anything behind the fact that he's playing for a contract in that performance and the way that he's playing at the moment?
Absolutely, there is. And for a lot of footballers, nothing motivates them more than being out of contract. And we see it. There's great examples even this year. I mean, Guthrie from Geelong's having an exceptional year out of contract. Shea Bolton having an unbelievable year out of contract. A lot of players produce career best years when they're out of contract. That's why I really dislike the long-term deals. And I think you have to be the elite of the elite who are so self-driven to get those deals. So Jake Stringer, self-admittedly, is 8 kilos overweight last year. Do you think he would rock up looking like that if he was playing for a contract? I doubt it. So whilst it was one of the great individual performances yesterday, I think, well, why haven't you done this more often? And have you let yourself, your team and yourself down by not preparing yourself like you are playing for a contract? So I thought it was brilliant. I loved it. We love watching him play. He's great for the game, but he should have done this more regularly. And perhaps he hasn't is because he just hasn't been prepared.
Hey, Gary, would you give him the bag, Jake Stringer?
I would heavily incentivise him, Tim, and dangle the carrot because everyone in football with half a brain knows that Jake Stringer on yesterday's form is worth every dollar of 750. Mm-hmm. Similarly, everyone in football knows that he doesn't do it very often or he doesn't do it often enough in recent times. So you would incentivise him. He's not in the category of Dusty and Petrarca. He plays like those boys, but he hasn't had that level of consistency.
Not the level of consistency.
Not
but I would say that anything that Petrarca is capable of doing, he is capable of doing as well, but he hasn't performed at that same high level over the same... Well, Petrarca's only really been that player for last season and this season.
Yeah, but Tim, I watch Jakey closely for, you know, the reasons, obviously, but he doesn't... I'm just trying to find his record here. So for the best and fairest of the way we judge people. So early on in the piece, he was very, very good. He was an All-Australian in 2015. I don't see any best and fairest finishes. He wasn't in the top 10 in the best and fairest last year.
So, no, he had a bad... He missed a lot of footy last year.
Yeah.
Someone
needs to tell me. Well, boys can look it up for me. So I wouldn't put him in that category. I put him capable of doing it.
So he's one of the really difficult ones. When you sit down as the management of a football club and you're looking and saying, okay, we want this bloke. He's very much a part of where we're going.
He's extraordinary yesterday.
But his track record is this, And he's only really been this mature preparer, elite preparer for a short period of time. We need to see more of that. So you're right. You've got to look at a heavily incentivized type contract. You say, mate, you can earn the bag over the next 3 years, say. I wouldn't give him a 5-year deal, maybe the next 3 years, but you've got to keep presenting yourself like this.
So then you have to be, as a football club, you almost have to be prepared to lose a player like that. So if he has an offer for 4 or 5 years on the table from another club and you've got a 3-year deal that's heavily incentivised, he's going to have to really work for his money, then as a footy club, I think Essendon have done this really well. You've got to be prepared to lose a player like that. And as much as that comment stings on the back of a 29 disposal performance and 170 ranking points or whatever it was, the best career game he's ever played, that hurts right now, but in the long term, it's the better thing for your footy club. You can't just keep handing out what St Kilda have done, what Collingwood have done. And who's Jake Stringer? Well, he's Jordan Ngoi, really, isn't he? Petrarca. He's more Jordan Ngoi.
I was going to throw that into the equation. If you could choose between one of those two players right now, who do you think gives and provides better value?
Stringer's in better form.
He probably looks a bit in better touch at the moment. He was unbelievable. Like, it was great to watch and it was exciting to watch. A kid called Harrison Jones put on a marking display yesterday in just, I don't know how many games he's played, a handful. It was as good a key forward. He played genuine key centre-half forward and just clunked everything that came. I thought he was every bit as exciting for me. I mean, I know, I've seen Jake do that, and I know he'll do it again. And I know that, you know, in the right frame of mind, he's almost unstoppable.
Kane, back me up. He goes to the key position players all the time. he completely discounts all the guys that create the engine and provide the drive in a team. He overlooks and goes straight to a bloke that clunks a ball a couple of times.
Well, yeah, he has given Ollie Wines the credit he deserves. Thank you. We got to give him.
How
that
good was he marking the footy? That
no, he's got a great pair of hands.
So there's nothing better. I think the most exciting thing is watching a first or second year player can just completely arrive on the stage.
Yeah,
I think that's what Essendon have done this year. I mean, it was a terrific win yesterday because they really challenged it. Clarko had a plan defensively. They were hard to score against. They were hard to play against yesterday, Hawthorn. And this young group dug in with some brilliance from a seasoned 27-year-old in Stringer, but then you get the young players as well. So I think that's one of the most exciting things you can see in footy.
Let's just mention this about Hawthorn too. Jyth and Day, two kids playing across half-back. They are going to be stars of the competition, absolute stars of the competition.
So I said last week they will build this thing from the back, right? So there's CJ, there's Day, there's Denver Granger Barras, who's going to be, I asked again during the week, because Scrimshaw.
He's getting better and better all the time.
So they will build from the back, and they'll make it hard. Like early in that game, Essendon couldn't penetrate. They just kept handing the footy back. So Clarkson will coach in a manner that allows them. And then it'll depend on what they do from a draft point of view going forward and whether they attract anyone. But, it was a great game. And you needed a contender. You needed someone to be competitive in the other side. And that was Hawthorn.
And the interesting thing is we're talking about those teams and we're thinking, okay, there's all these green shoots about those two teams and the way that they're progressing with their build. And then we're talking about Carlton. And I know they are a conversation each and every week because it's not that we're seeing a development, Kane, in their team and the way they're playing.
No, they're not. So I look at just the scoring over the weekend. There's one team over the weekend that scored 100 points. Only one. So of all the talk of the high scores from early on in the year and the changing of the rules, teams have worked that out, and defensively, that's what they're hanging their hat on. One team scores 100. That's the team that Carlton play against. The seventh time this year a team has kicked 100 against them. I wonder, even Nathan Buckley, when he left, was hanging his hat on something. And can I ask you, if you could ask me what David Teague has hung his hat on this year or hung his hat on, what has it been? I can't identify anything with that, and I can't identify a unique style, and I think that's really going to hurt him. And defensively, they've been so poor, and you just can't afford to be in footy today. So when he speaks, does he speak strongly and passionately about defence like Nathan Buckley has done, like Simon Goodwin is doing? And I'm not saying it has to be defence, but it has to be some aspect. Is it? Yeah. You
know, no, he hasn't.
He speaks about contested, tough footy. Like,
nothing.
What has David Teague hung his hat on? And I'd have to say nothing.
Well,
that's a good point.
Early in the year, he said, we are going to be an attacking team. And they were playing the Western Bulldogs. It sticks in my mind for lots of reasons. Yep. We're playing the Western Bulldogs, and he said, and we know they're going to kick goals, so we're going to have to kick more than them. And they were 5 goals up against the Western Bulldogs. Mm. And then the Western Bulldogs got a run on, and they couldn't stop them. So you just think, well, they meant, but why is that not a surprise? Because the mentality was, well, we're going to try and kick more than them. When you lose momentum and lose control of the game, you can't stop it with that mindset.
That's right. And you start to change pieces of the way you're playing, and then you've got to make sure that you bring the players along with you and that they actually understand the game plan intrinsically. He has had enough time. I think he's had enough time to put a stamp of a style of play on this team. And for them to continuously break down in the same areas, like you've got to, as a coach, your job is to diagnose the problem and then it's to fix it. Now, some of those problems can't be fixed in a day or two or a week or two or even a month. I mean, sometimes it just takes time. Look at North Melbourne now. They're actually developing a style of play under their new coach, but it's taken time. But we're seeing it before our very eyes now that there is a change taking place.
I don't know if their man Kano agrees.
Well, I think we've been a little bit friendly on North Melbourne. Look, I can see, I agree with you, I can see an identifiable game plan, but I just think we've been pumping up North Melbourne as a media organisation. I think, have we let them off too lightly?
Who's pumping them up, though? I haven't heard anyone pump them up.
Well, I think I listened to the commentary over the weekend. I watched the game against Brisbane, and Kingy's very up and about them, and the North supporters are really happy with how they're going. It's win loss, isn't it?
Like No. I think at times when you're looking at a developing team, Kane, it's not so much just about win losses, and the wins might come for you as a coach and a team in terms of how many quarters you win, how much of the contest you win, how much longer you stay in a game. That's a win as well, and I think those wins are starting to accumulate for North Melbourne.
Yeah, my criticism wasn't necessarily directed at this regime, so the David Noble and this playing group. It's more what has happened at North Melbourne to lead them into a position where they've won two games in the last 27 games. Like, we are actually factually looking at one of the worst teams in the AFL era. And I just wonder, if they had their time again, would they have culled 11 players? Would they have supported these young players with a bit more experience around them? So you don't get the losing culture that they're having at the moment. You rock up every Monday, a depressing place. Oh, it's another loss. So I just think, you know, this is factually one of the worst teams we've seen in the AFL era. I'm just not sure
that's legitimate
enough about it.
No, and I think the sins of the past are very real and genuine. And what you're saying is right. They made some mistakes, some bad mistakes. And, you know, you can go right through the appointment of coaches and through, you know, the way they've handled some delistings and recruitings and all that. I guess what? So you're right. And Tim's right. So he's looking forward and saying, okay, David Noble's in. And there's some similarities between, you know, the way that Nix has built his team and the way that Noble's starting to build his. So
Now, North Melbourne are hard to play against. Early in the season, they weren't hard to play against.
No, of course they weren't.
They are improving.
It takes some time.
They are improving.
And that's what Norse fans want to look at. Are we getting better in this area? Which is the issue with David Teague and the Carlton Footy Club. When I hear David Teague say, I'm educating the players on the defensive systems needs more work and I need to be better at that. Well, you know, that's what would concern me. So we'll take a break. The Monday Microscope with Kane Corns. We've got our loose ball gets to come. We've got the Gold Coast Suns. I need to have a chat about them. I like the Giants. Lockie Whitfield's going to join us a little later. And if you want to go back to Friday night as well, you can talk about the Cats and the Dogs and whether one of them separated themselves or whether they're both still at the top of the tree. Kane Corns is with us.
This is the SEN Breakfast Monday Microscope with Gary Lyon, Tim Watson and Kane Corns.
Great to have Kane Corns with us. Gold Coast Suns have won 3 games and lost 40 after the halfway mark of the season in the last 5 years. They've won 3 and lost 40 after the halfway mark of the last... What are we doing with this football club?
Yeah, well, Gaz, I'd need a PhD and some sort of degree to work out what to do with them. I'm not sure anyone has the answers. I've had 20 minutes with the chairman, Tony Cochran, on Thursday on our show over here, and he seems a little bit lost for answers, other than he keeps optimistically saying that they're on the right track. He did speak that they should need an extra 10% in their salary cap because they're forced to pay extra to keep the players, but This was training drill type of stuff for Port Adelaide. I'm not sure many of their players would have worked up a sweat. It's one of those games where you just turn up. It's really good fun to play. It's nice, uncontested, take 100 uncontested marks. And not for 1 minute were they in this game of football. Not for one. Like,
they kicked four goals.
Yeah, it didn't even.
From 52 inside, that's my. There's lots of concerns. If you're going inside 50, 52 times, you have to be able to manufacture something that contributes more than four goals. You've got Isaac Rankin. You've got Ben King running around in there. You've got Sexton, who's a hungry little goal kicker, can kick goals.
That's right. You look at Isaac Rankin and you think, okay, well, right now they look like they're coaching all the flair out of him as much as they possibly can, which may be, okay, we need you to concentrate on the defensive part of the game, that type of thing. But the kid, and maybe he needs to learn that type of the game, but you've got somebody that can just light up the front half for you, and King as well. And neither of them looked like they were going to threaten at the weekend.
No, they didn't. And even like Noah Anderson, who, you know, I remember speaking about him the first 6 weeks of the year going, wow, how's his form? He's dropped right away. Lockie Weller was in good form last year, dropped right away. So the only one that can really, you know, Hugh Greenwood and Tuukka Miller have been sensational.
I want to talk about Tuukka Miller.
He's a star.
I've got to give you credit here. You put this on the radar before anyone. We're all jumping on. But
sometimes you need to watch a player in live, which we don't get to see Gold Coast because of circumstances. Live, I'm talking. So I was at the MCG, I watched him play. I think it was Collingwood they beat.
Yeah, it was.
This kid's work rate and ability and willingness to push himself from one contest to the next is as good as anyone in the competition. And his standards in a team whose standards aren't high from week in and week out never vary. He's one of the great footy stories in the AFL, this kid.
He is.
Yeah, he runs himself into the... So you watch players who the footy turns over, they know they're going to get on the end of it and they go. And there's a lot of that about St Kilda. So the Saints players are fine when they know that they're a chance of sniffing a goal. But what do they do when they don't have it? And Miller runs just as hard when he doesn't. So I think him and Sam Walsh right now, the two hardest workers in the game.
Your point there is really well made. So when you watch... everyone doesn't focus on Tuukka Miller because no one focuses on the Gold Coast at all. But his willingness to go the other way in a team that's just getting pounded, right? So, you know, as soon as the ball gets turned over, he puts his head down and runs as hard the other way and will pick players up on the way through and cover for... he's a joy. He's what they should be
holding. His heart would be breaking at the moment playing alongside some of those other players there at the Gold Coast Suns right now, because there's so many of them that just don't work as hard as he does. And they may have a massive confidence problem now. I get the feeling that Stewie Jew has tried to change the way that they play mid-season, and there seems to be a real disconnect with the players right now. So maybe that's what they're going through. They're trying to teach them, okay, here are all the things that they haven't been prepared to do consistently, but right now they look like they're confused as a group of players.
Do you think there's going to be any legitimacy in this now Tasmanian great spectacle, 14,000-15,000 sellout, crazy, manic, footy-loving fans, and then we compare them to Gold Coast? Do you think it's going to mount a heap of pressure on them?
Oh, it's already started.
It has started, but do you think there's any legitimacy to it?
No, I don't think logistically the AFL can get this up within the next 3 to 4 years. I support Tassie getting a team. I'd love to see them get a team. And what they did yesterday was amazing in the atmosphere. But logistically, how does the AFL afford it? How do they get it up in the next short term? I'm not sure. But I'm absolutely not against them having a team. And I support their right to have one.
What about the Gold Coast Suns if they could have had Alirelia, Nick Hind, Tom Hickey, Jared Lyons and Tom McDonald in their team?
It's all in the picking, Gary. As a wise recruiter once said, it's all in the picking. You imagine you could have got all those players at a bargain basement price.
It's a bit
as
of hindsight.
Well, and that would have been you're quite right raising the question, though. Imagine if somebody had have had the foresight to go after that quartet of players. Yeah. And what, not just in terms of what they produce, but they're all good citizens as well.
Yeah, gives you some strength and backbone.
When the Giants
formed their team, they went down that path a bit. They formed their team with some backbone. And we've got Lockie Whitfield coming up, who's, I think in terms of work rate and pushing himself and all those things, going to be great. Where do you see them? We've only got 2 minutes, and I want a quick word on Friday night too.
Well, they coughed up a massive opportunity last week, didn't they? North, that one could come back. But I respect what they've done because I didn't have high expectations for the Giants this year with what they've lost. I think their leadership players are starting to play exceptionally well. I love it when De Boer goes to someone. I think that sets the tone for the whole team. They're a much better team when he's playing that role. I thought his job on Walsh predominantly, but a little bit of Cripps was terrific. So, and your second question, I lost it, Gaz.
Friday night. So did you see any moving in anyone closer than the other in terms of a premiership out of those two?
I said last week the Cats are going to come. They've still got four left at GMHBA for the rest of the year, a couple at the MCG. I think they finished top. At the end of the home and away.
Well, I said to Gary last week that Isaac Smith was a more important player to them than Jeremy Cameron. I'm standing by that even more so after Friday night. Where do you sit on that, Kane?
That's a hot take. That
is a hot cake take.
Hot take, Watson. No, I think Jeremy Cameron is more important, but he plays that very clever role on the wing where he just gets in and out and is a very good player. So, no, I like the Cats. I like the way they're building.
Who kicked the ball to Gary Rowan late in the game?
Oh, righto, hot take.
I'm just asking the question. I don't know the answer to it.
Matt take Watson.
Matt De Boer went to Sam Walsh. Who would have thought that would make life difficult for Sam Walsh? He can run with someone. I did think, though, that they, I don't know if they bailed out, but it looked to me that they took Sam Walsh out of the middle within 3 minutes and played him on half forward flank.
What would you have done with him? Running him across half back?
Run and work your way through it, son. You're gonna,
six kicks.
You've got to get used to it.
Run De Boer off his legs.
Great work, Kano. We will talk again next week.
Good on you. Look forward to it.
The Giants, the GWS variety, put paid to Carlton by 6 goals. A very comfortable win and best player on the ground, or close enough to, was Lockie Whitfield. I demanded that he join us this morning. He's been good enough to jump on. Lock, g'day.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're going well, young man. And what have you been up to this morning? A little bit of swim in the ocean? Where do we find you on Mondays?
No, I've just arrived at the club. Got the golf on the TV, watching who stays and get to work.
Nice work. It was a pretty impressive performance on the weekend, I think. I mean, you're playing a Carlton side who have been under all sorts of spotlight. Were you a little surprised at the passive nature of Carlton early in this game?
I don't know if they were passive. I think the first quarter was a bit of a brawl. We just knew that we wanted to calm out and play hard footy because we needed to bounce back after last week. And yeah, they were good. They were pretty good in that third quarter. We couldn't really stop their momentum, but, yeah, we ran over the end.
Hey, Lockie, good morning to you. It's Tim here. Gary has got a buckled rib. I'm not quite sure whether or not you know about this. You had a lacerated liver early in the season. He says a buckled rib's worse than a lacerated liver. Can you just tell us about the time you spent in hospital and the rehabilitation and how long it took you to recover?
It was pretty hard. There was 2-ish weeks in hospital, I think it was 13 days. And, I wasn't really able to get out of the bed, so I was horizontal for most of that time. And, a lot of annoying days at home, really. There's not much you can do to speed up the process other than just wait. So, it's a frustrating period. I think a rib's pretty bad, though, Gaz.
Don't worry about that. How do you lacerate your liver?
I just got a knee to, the bottom of my ribs, and the ribs sort of jabbed at it and as if it was a knife or something and just opened it up.
Did you know straight away that it was serious?
Nah, I didn't. I just sort of kind of winded myself and I continued to train and I had all this soreness in my right shoulder, which I thought was really weird. And then, usually if you got that sore, it's got something to do with your liver because, everything on your right hand side pushes up. So I'd say, go to the hospital the next day.
How much weight did you lose during that time?
I actually never checked. I was too nervous to. I reckon it would have been close to about 8 to 10 kilo, and I'm still trying to get most of that back, playing a little bit lighter than usual at the moment.
You're not a hulking monster, let's be honest.
Nah, I looked like a bloody addict down at Frankston.
Hey, you know when Toby Green lined up for that torp outside 50, be honest here, what were you thinking at that time?
I actually thought he had it in him. I was standing next to him trying to give him a little bit of advice, as most people were at that time. But I thought we were about to see something pretty special, and we did, didn't we?
We did. What advice were you giving him?
I was just yelling at him to kick it up. Kick it as high as you can, and you can get a torp in it. Get some good spiral. It usually goes a distance. But, I don't even think he looked at me. So But I guess I can claim it. He took my advice.
What sort of captain is he? Well, I mean, we're not jumping on the grave of Steve Cornelio, who's had his own challenges with injury and form and everything else that goes around. But I think we've all sat back and admired the way that he's gone about it and led from the front and at the right time when he needs to lift, he lifts. What would you say about his leadership?
Toby's just that guy that you sort of jump on the back of him when he gets going. He's definitely an on-field leader. And can give like a really inspiring sort of pre-bounce speech. He gets pretty passionate and he's not too vocal through the week. It's more left to Cogs. But, on the field at the moment, what he's doing for us, he's just, probably one of the best impact players in the comp pretty easily. So we just, jump on his shoulders and get behind him.
Did you expect to be where you are currently on the ladder, the Giants? I mean, everybody at the beginning of this year, they were death riding the Giants, saying they're going to have to go through a slow rebuilding process again. You're just a game outside the 89th position at the moment. Does that surprise you in any way?
No, it definitely didn't surprise me. After going zipping three at the start and getting a ton of injuries, we just blooded a lot of youth and they gave us a lot of energy and seeing how we were going and through that like 5 week period after those early losses, you kind of could feel that there was a really good vibe around the place and the footy sort of started to turn around. But we've obviously had lapses in the last month, like the game against North didn't go as planned. But we're getting some players back, we're getting some games played back. So, yeah, it's pretty good, exciting place to be around at the moment.
With Lockie Whitfield, a star from the Gold Coast, from the GWS Giants.
Hello, we know something.
Come on, Gaz.
I'm going to talk about a piece of paper I've got at home about Lockie Whitfield and the Melbourne Footy Club. I'll ask him in a minute, but before I do that, there's some players that we see it at Essendon. They lost players, got traded out, and there's a bit of woe and doom around the place. But what happens is opportunity presents itself, and I reckon we're seeing a lot of that with your club now, some players that are getting time in the senior 20 or senior 18. And really, so why is that coming? We haven't seen a lot of Connor Iden. We haven't seen a lot of, but they all look really comfortable at the level. Jack Buckley. Just got himself a position now. Bobby Hill's playing regularly. Kieran Briggs is starting to play some footy. It's a pretty deep list you got.
Yeah. Well, we had to test it pretty early in the year with a lot of injuries. So, when you get given a chance and these young kids, have been sitting in the twos for a number of years just waiting for their opportunity, they're now showing that, the footy world what they got and, led by that back three you're probably seeing, Isaac, Connor and Jack, they're gonna, keep some good places out of the team, I'd suspect. They're doing really well. So it's good to have good depth.
It is. You've got great depth there at the moment, some great young talent coming through too. Lockie, the doco that was made last year, did you sit down and watch it?
I watched the first half of the first episode. That was it.
What did you think of it?
I found it a little bit cringe.
Why did you find it a little bit cringe?
I don't know. I just seen your teammates and yourself on TV, and you listen to your voice and you don't even think that's how you sound. It's just I struggle to watch it in that sense, but I don't know. I don't watch a ton of footy as it is, so I was let that slide through the keeper.
If you don't watch footy, what do you watch? What do you invest yourself in your time in? Sports?
Other sports. golf, soccer, F1.
Yeah, all the important stuff. Which you don't need to be watching footy all the time. Hey, I've got a question that was really interesting on the weekend, and you might be able to clear a few things up for us. Josh Kelly and then Bobby Hill both came off the ground with ankle injuries. And there was some vision of Bobby Hill, who had his sock taken off, and there was a massive, swelling you could see straight away, but he didn't have his ankles taped. Now, and the commentators, Luke Darcy, are of this, little similar vintage to what I was, and Tim, we used to have to tape for games and for training. What's the situation these days?
Well, it's not mandatory.
Really?
It was in my early part of my career, so I've sort of just continued that trend, and I tape mine every game, but I don't tape it through the week. A lot of the boys do have ankle issues, and I've had surgery on mine, so it can get a little bit frustrating taping him through the week and putting like the tightness and pressure on him. So I tend to try and give him a break through the week and then make sure they're taped for the weekend just in case, you know, you have to rely on it if a roll happens.
What was the rationale behind them going from compulsory to discretionary? What was the thought process?
I think it probably should be compulsory. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just players' choice. The players have the power these days, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Hawthorn, you're due to take the Hawks on at GWS Giant Stadium on Sunday. Do you know a bit from the COVID point of view whether they think that's going to take place, given that there's a few COVID positives around Sydney Town?
Yeah, well, we've just had a meeting this morning about, you know, all the protocols and that we are now under. We're not really allowed to do all that much other than come to training at the moment. So I think they're doing that just in case it continues to spike up here and, you know, maybe we need to get down to Melbourne. But I think at this stage, yeah, we'll go ahead as per planned on Sunday against the Hawks. And I'm hoping it stays up here.
Hey, Loggie, I think you are Gary's favourite player in the competition. My favourite player in the competition is Big Prusy. If Prusy and Mummy were having a sausage-eating competition, who would win?
Oh, shit. That's hard. Probably Mummy just, like, on a points decision. But they'd fight over the food. They'd be brawling for it.
Hey, Louis Oosthuizen now leads the US Open by 2 shots. DeChambeau dropped a shot, so they're at 4-under with McIlroy. I have a piece of paper with your commitment to the Melbourne Football Club, signed, sealed. So if Jason McCartney needs to get in touch with me, can you remember making that commitment?
I do. I remember exactly where it was in the back corner of a Richmond pub with you, but...
Yes.
I didn't have proper management around me, so you took your advantage under the influence, I think.
Hey, was Gary your favourite player? Did you
I coached Lockie for a year.
Oh, okay. Lockie didn't grow up barracking for Melbourne.
Oh, he's a Hawk man, I think, weren't you, Lock?
Yeah, Hawks, back in the day.
I think your dad might have been
a Hawk. What sort of a coach was Gary?
He was probably one of the first coaches that employed the old school tactics, the sprays and all that. Because when I was growing up, it was just dads really coaching us. So I was the first proper coach I had was sprays. Dads in the under 16. So yeah, opened my eyes up to proper footy.
Did you cop a spray from him?
Probably. I can't remember, but it was a long time ago.
It was good fun. We had a lot of fun, and Jakey Stringer was in that side as well, so they've all gone on kicked on these
Ollie balls. Wines too, I think.
Ollie Wines as well. How did we not win that series? We're not a very good coach.
You didn't win the series.
No, unlucky.
Right, you had a fair bit of talent at your disposal.
Hey, Locke, good luck. It's great to talk to you. The Giants, I think they're on the right track. I don't know whether the finals, I know you wouldn't have given up on that. You're still very much in contention. So we'll watch and see what happens, but good luck for the rest of the year.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
On your Lockie.
Lockie Whitfield there. He is a star. He was here for Keyser, struggling with back pain. Now's the time for Keyser. Now open in Mornington and Ocean Grove.